I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Paul's Eye Show. We're brought to you by Archie's on Carson Street. Get down to Archie's, the official chicken wing of the fan. We're also brought to you by Solomon Auto Group, and you can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. We're here at Velazzi's in Greensburg. Come on out to Velazzi's and enjoy yourself. Join us. It's a great place to be. It's a great place to eat, drink, and be merry. So come on out to Velazzi's. We like it. We love it when we get here. We also love our next guest here, and that is Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. Brian covers the Steelers for us at the Post-Gazette, and he is putting the finishing touches on, or I guess put the finishing touches on, camp today.
Yes, training camp is in the rear view now in 2019, at least for us media. The team will still be up there, and I guess they'll break either tomorrow or Saturday officially, but they're not going to do a whole lot tomorrow since they've got the game Saturday night. Tomorrow's practice not open to us or to the public, so no fans will be there, and yeah, that was pretty much how it ended, and it ended with another rain-shortened practice today, although it barely rained. It was more of just the threat of inclement weather that they just all kind of scrambled off the practice field, and that was that. That was training camp 2019.
Well, that is pretty crazy. I mean, if you think about it, it seems like camps are shorter and shorter and shorter than they used to be. And
it flew by, and this was a weird one, obviously a strange one. I think it'll be a memorable one for these Steelers. I mean, the cruel irony of it is they get out of it basically healthy, which is the most significant portion of any NFL training camp. But, of course, you know, you deal with the ultimate tragedy. I mean, the death of someone on your coaching staff and Daryl Drake on Sunday. So, I mean, it was a strange and stark ending to, you know, their 3 weeks or whatever it ended up being up in at St. Vincent.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was watching – these receivers, a lot of them haven't been able to talk about this situation.
Yeah.
Everybody else on the team has, and every single one of them has basically talked about how great of a guy Daryl Drake was. But today Ryan Switzer talked, and it's pretty emotional. I mean, you know, this is not just a coach we're talking about. This is somebody who's a mentor and probably, you know, even more than that to some of these guys.
No doubt, yeah. A father figure was basically the gist of Ryan Switzer, and commend him for pretty much standing up there and talking for about 5 minutes today, something that wasn't easy for him to do. And, you know, he was holding back the tears as he did it. But I think he spoke really passionately, really eloquently about Daryl Drake, not just what he meant to him, not just what he meant to that team, but also how they sort of cope with it and not move on from it, but try to harness that somewhat and make it, you know, make them stronger through it. Which is, you know, really kind of the only way you can kind of spin it at this point. You got to just look at it as Daryl Drake wouldn't want us to be moping around and, you know, just feeling sorry for ourselves the rest of this camp and the rest of this season. As Switzer put it, you know, it's going to be part of this team's story in 2019, but also in 2020. And as long as they can go without, you know, sort of letting his legacy be forgotten.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And it doesn't sound like it's going to be forgotten. It sounds like he's somebody who left a legacy of, you know, a much more than just being a football coach. On the field, obviously, Brian, the storyline or whatever that people have been following this week is the quarterbacks. Mason Rudolph will start the game, which I don't think anybody's surprised by that. Do you get the sense that, you know, they're only going that only one of these two is going to survive, or do you think they're actually going to try and keep all three? You know, Ben and these two.
Yeah, I think they'll try to keep all three, Paul. I mean, there was a little bit of a wrench thrown into that assumption, I suppose, with this fourth string guy, Devlin Hodges, who is probably more talented at that position than some of the previous, you know, camp arms, if you want to call it that, that they've brought in. I mean, last year it turned out that Landry Jones was the fourth arm in camp and didn't really know it. Speaking of which, he was in the news today.
Yes.
Speaking of Steelers quarterbacks or ex-Steelers quarterbacks, Landry Jones is the face of the XFL. We're getting off on a tangent here, but that hit my inbox, and I was kind of laughing a little bit because he does not really seem to fit the XFL personality from what I remember.
Well, that's what I was going to say. When you're in the XFL, if you're looking for, you know, the sort
flamboyant.
Of the face of it too, kind of, right? Isn't he the first quarterback that they signed?
Yeah, they're going to sign seven others to basically start up their eight franchises.
I mean, he's a guy that's got very, I mean, you know, really, really super guy. Just not a lot of personality, not a lot of time for all of the other stuff.
And it's not like he did a lot in the NFL to make himself a big name, you know, but I guess he was the best available guy to throw the ball to some of those players.
I mean, you would think that you would want to go out and find somebody who's a little bit of a showman, a little bit flamboyant, a little bit, you know, somebody who you can actually market. I mean, what are you marketing with Landry Jones? He's
go out and get Tebow.
Yeah.
Get Tebow back. I hear he's hurt. He's not going to finish this minor league season.
Well, that's, I mean, you know,
I'd have to see what quarterbacks are currently free agents.
Obviously, that's the kind of guy that, you know, you would ideally like to go get. Somebody like him, or, you know, somebody who is like a super big-time college superstar, you know, at one of the power programs. It just wasn't quite good enough to be in the NFL, you know.
Yeah, maybe there was some of those guys will get cut by the end of this month here and in the XFL can find some big personalities.
Which is why it's very short-sighted in my mind that the XFL is filling their rosters now. Why not wait 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think they are going to have a draft or something like that. So, I mean, Landry Jones was just kind of that first. Obviously, he was the first guy available on the couch to come down.
But I would be willing to bet there's going to be probably eight quarterbacks that will be cut that are better than Landry Jones.
You would think so.
And not just better than him. Better suited, better suited for what they're looking for in that league.
But anyway, as far as the Steelers' backup competition that he got run out of last season, yeah, I think there's certainly still a place for both Mason Rudolph and Josh Dobbs. I don't know that either one of them is going to get bumped out by Devlin Hodges, as plucky and as fun of a story as he's been so far this training camp. What's interesting to me about the Rudolph-Dobbs dynamic is I almost think when you look at what those two can bring you, if Ben Roethlisberger gets hurt and is going to have to miss four or six games or something like that, I think I'd want Mason Rudolph in there and see what he can do as he faces NFL defenses and learns the game at this level. If Ben Roethlisberger is going to miss one or two games, I would maybe just want to roll out Josh Dobbs and say, hey, use your athleticism, use your feet, use your intellect, and find a way to scratch and claw and get us two wins here. So I think there's still kind of a place for both of them. That being said, I assume one of the two will be named the nominal backup quarterback, and Mason Rudolph can take a big step forward in trying to get to that point Saturday night against the Chiefs, and ultimately I think he will emerge from this preseason as the number two guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he's not the number two guy, then what happens? You think about it.
Then all of a sudden you're wondering what's the deal with this third round pick that we used a year ago.
That's the point. You're talking about one of these things where you have to really wonder what they were thinking when they drafted him, because then it becomes a wasted pick on a team that could have used that pick maybe to get somebody that helped their defense a little bit or something else. So.
Yeah. Well, at that point, I think Ben Roethlisberger's future was a little more wishy-washy from his perspective. I mean, he's since gotten the contract extension, and you know, now he's due to be on this team for just as long as Mason Rudolph is. But at the time, I mean, the Steelers really talked him up. I think Kevin Colbert said, we saw him as a first-round guy, and when he was sitting there for us in the third round, we went talent over need. So maybe in hindsight, if Ben Roethlisberger is still playing well into his early 40s, Mason Rudolph doesn't seem like he was a very valuable pick. But you know, at the time, you didn't necessarily know what old number seven was going to do.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is with old number seven, I mean, how long is he going to play is a really good question, because, you know, if you think about it, they only have, what, 4 years of control of Mason Rudolph? So, which, you know, we're talking about two more years of Ben. I mean, if you listen to what he had to say, I think he wants to go deeper than that, right?
It seems like it. I guess we'll see how these as soon as the 2019 season goes. I mean, this is going to be a season of major transition for him, the first time in a long time that he doesn't have Antonio Brown out there. He's going to have some new young receivers. We'll see how that rapport develops year two with Randy Feetner as his offensive coordinator. Will that relationship stay as strong as it's been? So, you know, we'll see what kind of season he has. He's coming off of one of his best statistical seasons. Needs to cut down on the turnovers. I mean, he knows that much, but he's 37. He's not going to change a ton about the way he plays at this point. He could certainly use a better running game to help him out, too, and help balance that offense. So I don't know that he's going to be playing at the same age that Tom Brady is right now, but I still think if you're the Steelers, it's a good problem to have that maybe Mason Rudolph is someday chomping at the bit to become a starter in this league.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. That's probably one of those things you have to consider is you've got Mason Rudolph, and you picked him kind of with the idea that he would be the next guy, but by the time he might be ready to be the next guy, he might be also a free agent and ready to go somewhere else and get paid.
Or maybe you can showcase him in this preseason, or if Ben does miss a game or two with injury and Mason Rudolph pulls an old Matt Flynn and comes in there and lights it up, then all of a sudden you have a potential trade chip to another team that's in this league where quarterback is by far the most important position on the field.
Is there any chance that they would look maybe to trade Josh Dobbs?
I don't know how much value he would get you. I guess he could still really impress in these last three preseason games as well, but a former fourth rounder who didn't necessarily light up the joint when he played, albeit briefly, last season. So I don't necessarily see that coming down the pipe.
Well, we've got Brian Bacco from the Post-Gazette with us. He'll be here at least another segment. And Brian has covered the Steelers all training camp long. And today's his last trip back down from Latrobe.
And I stayed over last night, so I didn't even have to drive up and back today.
Oh, well, did you get to stay in the luxurious
yes.
St. Vincent dorms?
St. Benedict Hall. Yes. I was on the first floor with the whole media crew. It was a good night. Last night after practice, we went to dinner, played some pickup hoops, and then went out and had some fun. So it was a good way to end camp. Not as much of a grind or a slog as I thought it was going to be.
The proverbial Last Supper last night, is that what you...
that was tonight for me. We got dinner once more
okay.
at the St. Vincent Cafeteria before I hit the road to come here.
Suppose I show we're back at Velazzi's in Greensburg. Stop out at Velazzi's. It's... some of the best pasta, pizza, and everything else that you'll eat in Western PA. So stop on and have a good time with us. Say hello. We're here with Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette, who's on his way home from his last day of training camp with the Steelers. Brian, the most important question listening to that commercial, I mean, do you have ACC Network on your cable provider?
I don't think I do. And even if my cable provider did, I don't know that I would have the package to get it because I've got the pretty much most basic thing. I don't get NFL Network, MLB Network, any of that stuff. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to see the Panthers unless maybe I go and check them out in person. I don't think I've ever done that before.
Yeah, you've never been down there for a game.
Yeah.
I mean, this will be kind of interesting for you, though. There might be some games you actually miss.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since you've missed a Pitt game, right?
Yeah, the last 2 years, been to every game in person. So I'm definitely still going to keep an eye on him and keep tabs on him. Really curious what that program is going to do going into year five under Pat Narduzzi. And now I can watch it and just sort of watch it with an analytical eye rather than having to write about it. That's the thing that people don't realize sometimes, I think, about what we do, Paul. And you know this probably more as a former beat writer than as a columnist now, but you're not seeing everything when you're watching a game. I mean, you're up in the press box. There's 8 million different things you're trying to do. You're trying to tweet. You're trying to get your story going, trying to figure out who's healthy, who's not, look on the sidelines. I mean, a lot of the times, people who are sitting at home watching on the 65-inch TV are seeing little things and seeing details better than we are from our perspective.
Yeah, and it's interesting when I went from being the beat writer to watching it as a dad.
Yeah.
It was really different. But you know what?
And then you're really locked in on one guy.
Yeah, no, or at least on one side of the ball.
Yeah.
But I think that you know, you never really lose that critical eye.
Sure.
Maybe it's a little different. It'll be different for you, you know, because the one thing you won't be doing is worrying about every little substitution, who's in, who's out, how many snaps guys are made, all this stuff that you do.
Yeah, the nitty-gritty, the minutiae, as Mike Tomlin likes to call it.
Because you're not going to have to go ask questions about stuff the next, you know, after the game and also the next two or three days.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure Pat Narduzzi will miss me in the press conference.
But you know what I mean. I mean, you'll be watching the games and you'll still be, you know, the big things that happen. But the little things in terms of, well, this guy played the nickel for five snaps,
right,
or, you know, that kind of stuff, you won't be really that dialed into.
I can have a beer now when I watch the Pitt Panthers
as
well. So it's
actually
been a long time since that.
You know, given the way that Pitt does things quite
a lot
often,
of fans like to drink beer when they watch
Pitt. A beer is probably
Pitt.
A good thing, you know.
Or
beer,
something harder.
Yeah, exactly. But you cover the Steelers, and we're talking about the Steelers. You know, there was a number of different storylines going into camp.
I thought it ended up being a pretty quiet camp. I mean, it certainly, with removing the storylines that were constant this time a year ago in terms of Le'Veon Bell and his contract, and also Antonio Brown was just always making some sort of wave, you really didn't have a whole lot of that this year. I mean, it could have easily been the camp of Juju, but, you know, for as well as he played on the field, I mean, it was the camp of Juju in some ways because he was just so good every practice, but he wasn't drawing much attention to himself. He was trying to play that balance of signing as many autographs and interacting with the fans who made the drive out to La Trobe as much as possible, but he didn't do a lot of media. He wasn't doing interview scrums every day and talking like that. So just the way that he entered camp on report day at the end of July, quiet, no one stopped to talk with him because he just kind of sneaked down the back. That's pretty much how he approached it once camp started, too. I mean, James Conner was this. I mean, you know that he's a much more humble star kind of than Le'Veon Bell was at that position. But, I mean, he didn't do much talking. And Ben Roethlisberger spoke here and there, spoke again today at the end of camp, and gave some comments about the relationship he had with Darryl Drake, but also talked about his thoughts on the backup quarterback competition and some things like that. So it was a drama-free camp. And the best part, Paul, nobody on this team even did anything stupid on Twitter, which, I mean,
that's incredible.
For some of these guys, now a couple of the biggest culprits there are gone, but even for some of the guys who remained, that was no small feat. So
that was
nice. We didn't have to cover any Twitter spats.
No Twitter stuff, no, you know, dumb things off the field. Very quiet and kind of subdued camp in a lot of ways. We talked about storylines.
No one tried to rip off their personal chef, which
right.
is always good.
Exactly. We talked about storylines. You know, one of the ones was, you know, fixing sort of the inside linebacker spot, and obviously Devin Bush came in. Now, Mark Maron didn't seem to play a ton, or it didn't seem to be available for a ton, but obviously he'll be a part of it, of what goes, you know, happens. I mean, do you feel like they've adequately addressed that position?
Yeah, not really ready to make any sort of ruling there on Mark Barron. Like you said, I was actually a little surprised that he played in the first preseason game because the other big-ticket free agent additions that they got, Dante Moncrief and Steven Nelson, did not. But those Moncrief, at least, had been nicked up a little bit in camp. Barron had quite a few days off in camp because he is a veteran, even though he's new to this team. So I'm not really ready to say yet how he's going to transform things. We saw against the first team Bucks offense, even just in one half, how much Devin Bush can maybe transform things for this team. I mean, he was flying to the ball. He was far from perfect in coverage. There were some balls getting dropped in over his head down the middle of the field, and that's something that he's going to have to figure out because he is undersized, and that could be something that teams pick on come the regular season. But in terms of stopping the run and just making plays sideline to sideline, through one half of action, and, you know, not always against Jameis Winston in the first team Bucks, but still, he looked the part. He looked exactly like the guy the Steelers thought when they drafted him.
Yeah, and you know, I thought he was really, really good, and I think he'll be a guy that's probably going to have an impact on the defense.
I think they have nice depth at that spot too, because Vince Williams, we didn't even mention, he's been banged up the last week and a half or so at camp, but you know what you're getting out of him. Will he get as many snaps as he did last year? I doubt it. But even some young guys kind of flashed in that preseason game. Ulysses Gilbert, the sixth-round pick, kind of flew in under the radar into camp because didn't necessarily make waves in spring – I almost called it spring ball – OTAs and mini camp in the spring. And Wasn't really making splash plays in training camp, but when the lights came on, granted, as Mike Tomlin put it, between snap 80 and 89, he at least went out, got the ball, and made some things happen for this defense. And then you have guys who have been around like Tyler Matakevich, too. So I think that inside linebacker spot is a lot better off than it was this time a year ago.
Yeah, I think they've definitely shored up that spot. It's funny, I do that weekly mailbag for the Post-Gazette. And this week, one of the questions was, is Justin Lane a bust? After one half of the first preseason game of a guy's career, we've got people asking me.
I'm surprised you even gave that question the time of day, Paul.
Well, you know.
Low-hanging fruit.
You gotta throw some of that stuff in there just to have a little bit of fun with it. But, I mean, it was so silly.
I know. Well, what would possibly be the argument to say that it's not too early? I mean, yeah, like I said, it's been one preseason game. Justin Lane got thrown into the fire at a spot outside corner where I really don't think this team is ever going to have to lean on him in this season with him being a rookie. We knew when they drafted him, kind of raw, but he has the length, the height, the maybe the ball skills to at least be kind of a lockdown guy there, but in time, not right away. And he played more against a starting offense on that first drive against Tampa Bay than he ever had because it was his first exposure to NFL football. So not willing to write off Justin Lane whatsoever. But, yeah, I don't necessarily think they'll be using him at all this season because you've got Joe Hayden, Steven Nelson, maybe the bounce back of Artie Burns, and then even a versatile guy like Cam Sutton, who's had a really nice training camp picking off passes left and right when they come his way.
Well, you know, Steven Nelson, I think, is an interesting player.
He'll be a big key.
When you got him and you got Hayden, I think you're in pretty good shape in terms of that position, you know. So.
And the safeties are going to have to do their part, too. I mean, Terrell Edmonds, you'd think, is in line for that second-year jump. Sean Davis was banged up in camp, but, you know, he should know what he's doing. That being said, needs to be more productive in his second full season playing free safety. So those two will need to figure out the communication for sure on the back end, and I think maybe Steven Nelson is kind of that X factor, opposite Joe Hayden at cornerback, and he plays his former team Saturday night. Not exactly a revenge game, considering it's 60 minutes of football in which the final score doesn't matter, but I'm sure there's at least a small part of Steven Nelson that wouldn't mind going out there playing and playing well against the Chiefs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think if you really take a look at it, that's one of those things where the Chiefs game, now, I'm assuming Mahomes is not going to play.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I mean, Jameis Winston played a series last Friday, but I don't think they're putting Mahomes out there. Week three, but no. I actually don't know who their backup is. I'm going to look that up.
No, I mean, I think the thing about it is it's a team that passes the ball a lot, so hopefully, you know, you'll get a chance to see some of those things. So now that you're not at a camp, what are you going to be doing?
I guess we're going to get back to the Southside facility for practice this week, but in the meantime, hope to enjoy this weekend sandwiched around the game on Saturday night. It's my birthday tomorrow, so I've got that going for me, and then Sunday we'll be probably writing a follow or something off that big Chiefs-Steelers game at Heinz Field, and then we'll come to the part of the preseason where that week three gets a little more anticipated because some of the starters might play here and there. Ben Roethlisberger will probably play in that game, but for the most part, keeping an eye on sort of the bottom of this roster and see how things shake out with the 53.
Brian, great stuff as always. I appreciate you taking some time. Coming up, we're going to hear from Ryan Switzer.
No problem, Paul.
It's the Paul Zeiss Show on 93.7 The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.